Well, well, well.
Happy Tuesday evening. It is Tuesday, right? It's a Tuesday. It's all a blur, man. 11 days to the wedding. The big 11. 51 minutes away from 10. Good evening. My name is Mark Carmen, with you till 1 o'clock tonight. Blackhawks don't get it done tonight, but they have been playing better hockey, so congrats to the Blackhawks on that. I was up at Northwestern tonight, and the Wildcats took it on the chin, losing to Radford. That was unpleasant. But we are going to move on from the hockey and the college hoops around the station to, I want to have a conversation tonight about cheating, about integrity, about doing anything to win in life. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Now, there's been a bunch of stories that have come out. And the first one I want to start with here is, and I got questions for you, by the way. Phone number to get involved in the show is 312-981-7200. The biggest story from the world of sports, and I'm assuming I got some sports fans listening to me right now, right after the Blackhawks game. Everyone's a sports fan all the time, but just segueing out of the Blackhawks game. The Houston Astros won the World Series in 2017. And now there's allegations that they were using technology, cameras, tablets, to steal signs so their hitters would know exactly what pitch was coming. Rob Manfred, baseball commissioner, he is getting involved. The baseball is having their winter meetings right now. Manfred talking in the media, quote, "This is the most serious matter." He said it, quote, "relates to the integrity of the sport," and promised, quote, "a really, really thorough investigation." Word to Rob Manfred, you don't really need a really, really thorough investigation, although that's cool that you want to do all that. But Houston Astros pitcher at the time, Mike Fiers, 2017 world champion, he talked about, he's telling people, they had a camera near the home field dugout. They used it to steal catcher signs and relayed them to the hitters. Let them know exactly what was coming. They would bang on a trash can. If you heard that when you were at the plate, you knew a changeup was coming. And the Houston Astros benefited. Jose Altuve, their MVP star second baseman, in the playoffs with the Astros stealing signs, he hit 470 at home and hit 142 on the road. Carlos Correa, 370 at home, 200 on the road. These guys were benefiting by the cheating, and they went on to win the World Series. Now, let me ask you something. If you're an Astros fan, by the way, the White Sox played the Astros in the playoffs in 2005 when they won the World Series for the first time since 1917. Imagine if that had happened to the White Sox. How much would that suck if you found out that the other team was using illegal technology? You could steal signs if you're standing out at second base and you can read into what the catcher's doing. Well, okay. You're smart enough to figure that out, and if you can actually relay it to the batter, hey man, if I step three times to my right, I just picked up the changeup. That's why throughout the history of baseball there's been indicators and different signs, and that's why when you're zeroing in on the catcher that there's 7,000 different things going on down there. But this is different. They're actually taking technology that did not exist when they invented the beautiful game of baseball, and now they're using it to cheat. A couple questions for you. Number one, what should the penalty be for this, for the Houston Astros? What should the penalty be? Should they take draft picks away? Should they fine them a bunch of dough? Or should they do what I would do? That 2017 World Series flag, yeah, does not fly in your stadium anymore. World Series vacated. Out. You're done. That's what I would do, to send a message. 312-981-7200. But I have a different question for you. Michael Heidemann, who's your favorite baseball team?
The Chicago Cubs.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You're a Cub fan.
Yes.
That's wonderful. So I'm going to give you a proposition. 2020, the Chicago Cubs, I'm going to tell you right now, no one else is going to hear me. The Chicago Cubs will win the World Series in David Ross's first year as manager.
Wow.
They're going to win the World Series, but you have to sign a deal. Okay. I'm going to give you the secret code, and it's a cheat code.
Mm.
And no one's ever going to find out about it, but every time Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, whoever's at the plate, you can tell them exactly what the pitch is, and those guys are going to be unbelievable in the biggest moments, and the Cubs are going to win the World Series. Now, no one's ever going to find out, and there's going to be a party down Michigan Avenue, and we're going to have a celebration that's just as big, if not bigger, than it was in 2016. There's going to be 7 million people out there. I'm going to even put you, you're going to get to ride on a bus with all the Cubbies and all that. But you'll know that it wasn't legit. You'll know. But nobody else is ever going to find out. But your team could win the World Series. Are you signing up for that? You'll forever know that in the back of your mind, or maybe even the front of your mind, that we won, but it wasn't legit. But you did win. It's going to be in the record books. Chicago Cubs, 2020.
My favorite team winning the World Series, I need to just agree to this proposition.
You're cheating to do it.
And I have to carry this to my grave.
Right. No one's ever going to find out. You in?
And this only me who knows about it, and this other kind of...
Yeah, whatever. Me and you.
I think that... I don't want my ethics to be in question, but I think that there'd be a lot of contemplation about doing it.
A lot of contemplation.
I probably would end up doing it,
All right, I'm asking that question. 312-981-7200. If you knew you could get away with it, no one else would know, but you get to see your team win, would you do it? Now, this can be parsed out to a million different things. Doesn't even have to do with sports. We've talked a lot about this show when I've hosted about the college admissions scandal. If you knew that you would never get caught, your kid could get into college, could go to Duke or Northwestern or Michigan or wherever they want to go, and you opened the pathway to them, they didn't actually have the grades to do it, but you knew that they could get in and you'd never get caught, would you do it? Or, I'm going to come back here, I guess we got a new clock here, I think we're going to take a time out. I'm going to talk about another guy who was doing incredibly well in his life, but that wasn't enough. He needed to take it a drop further. 312-981-7200. My name is Mark Harmon. Good to be with you tonight. We're talking about morality, a little integrity, a little cheating, and your phone calls are welcome. Quick time out, 720 WGN. Talking about integrity on the show tonight. Mark Harmon with you till 1 in the morning. I believe my father is on hold. Is that my dad? My dad is, he's actually sort of my integrity flagpole, if you will. This is the man who raised me, and this is where I get a large part of my integrity. Papa Fred, is that you?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Dad. How are you?
I'm okay.
Listen to the show tonight, huh?
Well, just a very simple comment.
Yeah, no, please take your time. What do you got?
Whether an action is right or wrong does not depend upon whether you can do it, not get away with it quietly.
That's correct.
The action itself governs itself. If stealing these signals, if that is improper, then it's improper, even if you get away doing it.
Right, but people do it all the time, Dad.
People rob people all the time, too, and some of them get away with it. That doesn't make it a right action.
Right, but people live with doing things that are not wrong that'll benefit them.
People do. You know, that's right. Yeah. So what does that prove? Does that mean it's okay to do it, or what?
No, it does not, Dad. This goes on. Supposedly, this is going on all throughout baseball. Everyone's looking for an edge.
Yeah, right.
How sick is that?
That's something to be judged, but it doesn't depend upon whether or not it comes to light or not.
Right.
It's a question of whether or not the act in itself is wrong. That has to be judged. I don't know if consensus is that it's a perfectly legitimate thing to do. than it is, even whether you know about it or not. But if it's the wrong thing to do, then it shouldn't be done, period.
Right, but... Okay. Yeah, no, I got you, Dad.
Simple
then. But, yes, well, it is, but there's temptation all the time for people.
That's right. People are tempted to do wrong things, and some people do wrong things and get away with it. That doesn't make the wrong thing a right thing.
I understand.
Okay, all right, that's all. Okay, good
luck.
Thanks
for calling, Dad. Thank you. I do love my father. That's my guy. I love when he calls the show. I don't know what he's listening or not. I don't even remember if I told him that I was on tonight. There he was. Black or white for Papa Fred. He's either right or wrong, man.
I forgot to tell him that I really enjoyed his Mueller report.
The Mueller report was awesome.
Yeah, that was great.
312-981-7200. You can follow my father. I get his point. But I also see what we do. I'm going to tell you about a guy by the name of Jeff David in a second. Fascinating man who's now in jail. Hey, Rick, welcome to WGN. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Mark, I love listening. Your father would be a great guy to have lunch with and have a long conversation about lots of things.
Go over to the country kitchen in Highland Park. He likes the fruity pancakes over there. Maybe you can run into him, Rick. Go ahead. What do you got, my friend?
Along what your dad was saying, character. Integrity or character is how you act when no one is looking.
You're right.
And I went to say that if the Astros were actually doing what they're being accused of, that, you know, as your dad said, cheating is cheating. That's equivalent to the players taking steroids.
Let me ask you a question, Rick, if I may. Have you ever gotten away with something in life where you knew it was wrong, but it benefited you in that moment, and you were unable to follow your integrity flagpole, if you will, and you know what? Okay, I'm going to let this one slide because I really want this in the moment. Does that register with you at all?
Not offhand.
Really?
Not immediately, no.
Okay, all right.
I do think, you know, I'm no angel, I know that. But
neither am I. We're human.
I don't take undue advantage of situations or people.
Good for you, Rick. Good for you. And I appreciate the phone call. And
all right, Mark, keep up the good work.
Thank you, and thank you for the kind words about my dad. I really appreciate it. 312-981-7200. I want to make that clear here. I'm not trying to be sitting on the tallest mountain here, so I'm some perfect person. I've cheated on tests. I've fallen prey many, many times. But then you got to live with it, right? And as you get older, you would hope that you would mature, and you would orient to doing things the right way, and realize that it's not worth it. Let me tell you the story about my guy Jeff David here. Jeff David worked in the front office for the Sacramento Kings in the NBA. All right. He was in their sales department, and he was dealing with huge clients, big signage, the stuff you see around the arena, huge money, $20 million deals. The chief revenue officer of the Sacramento Kings. And he gets hired by the Miami Heat, so he's crossing the country for even a bigger job with the Miami Heat. They write that his life seemed picture perfect. He had an adoring wife of almost 10 years. He had three healthy children. He was with the Kings twice for over 10 years of work there. He helped secure hundreds of millions of dollars in arena sponsorships. And now he's going to Miami, one of the most respected organizations in the league. So here he is. He's starting with his new gig. He gets a phone call from a coworker with a former co-worker with the Kings. This is a story that ESPN.com wrote. The call from is a woman. Her name is Stacy. She works in human relations. HR. Doesn't really remember. After a few pleasantries, she gets down to business. She tells Jeff she's been going through his old files, and in doing so, she found one labeled, quote, TurboTax, that references an entity called Sacramento Sports Partners. All right? I was just curious, this woman calls up, what is this, and what are these documents, and should they go to somebody else? And he starts stumbling. No, 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 no. This was, man, this is taking me back. Maybe 2015, as he acts like he can't remember. And what he had done, long story short, is he had set up the Sacramento Sports Partners, and he was getting businesses to write checks directly to Sacramento Sports Partners, which was directly to him. $4 million checks. Huge money. He was ripping the Kings off. And at the time, the dude was making $360,000 a year.
Wow.
$360,000. Now, that might not, apparently wasn't enough for good old Jeff at the time, because he's hanging around with NBA millionaires. He's hanging around with owners who are billionaires. They're driving Ferraris. They're doing every which thing. He wants to play with the big boys. Partly. I think I'm playing amateur psychologist here.
Mm-hmm.
But for the rest of us out here, $360,000? Why? How could you possibly risk your livelihood? Even if you're making $36,000, it wouldn't make sense. But he's making $360,000 a year. I know it's expensive to live out in California, but that's a lot of dough. And here he put his entire life on the line so he could be the super rich guy. Well, here comes an HR person. She starts poking around. She starts asking questions. He doesn't give good answers. She brings it to the feds. She sees that the company she's working for is getting ripped off. The feds show up at his house in Miami. They start asking him questions. They do it under disguise. Like, hey, there was something in your real estate title here. And then they cornered him. And he's still in denial that, like, what's really going to happen. He's like, I'll just pay the money back. No. You're going to jail, dude. He's in jail now for 7 years. Three kids.
Jeez.
Three kids. The one day he's sitting there on the couch after the feds show up. The next day they go to the bank account to buy something or whatever to pay off. They're frozen. Zero. No money. The wife is crying on the couch. Why do we have no money? The guy's been lying to his wife, lying to his kids, lying to the people he's working with. Also, he can be this ultra rich guy. And he was making $360,000.
That's crazy.
Think about what we will do for a rush to get away with things, to live big. It's crazy. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. 720 WGN, 1135. Love how Michael Heidemann always ties in the music to the topic. It's a nice knowledge of tunes to be able to pull out. Shows a lot of depth. I appreciate it. I would like to hear from people who got away with something that is still eating at them, where you just feel a little guilty. 312-981-7200. I'll give you one that I think about. When I fly with my lovely fiance, and we're getting married in 11 days, if I mention that. And I do have a wedding topic coming up tonight at 12:05, so we'll hit that. But when I fly with her, she gets nervous flying. And one thing you can do when you're flying, if you get nervous, say you're boarding, let's say a Southwest flight, you can tell me, I get a little anxious before I fly. And they will let you board the plane before anyone else. So you get to walk on. Pick whatever seat you want. Doesn't matter if you're in the A boarding group, B boarding group, C boarding group. Carm's got C42. Oh, all of a sudden, now I'm walking on the plane. I can take whatever seat I want. Now I'm with her, but it feels wrong to me, and I've done it. All right, let's get a nice window seat in row 6 here. Right when we land, we're going to get right off.
Wait, so if you're nervous, you get on the plane early?
If you say that, you know, I'm a nervous flyer, I can't sit in the back, gives me a ton of anxiety, then they will allow you to board earlier.
I have never, ever heard
this
before.
True story, man. Straight true story.
Every airliner, is there a special Carm airline?
No.
Wow.
Now, that's Southwest. Now, that's a first-come, first-serve situation.
Mm-hmm.
If you fly American, United, whatever, every seat's assigned, probably not the same deal.
Yeah,
but on Southwest, it's not assigned.
You might have just cracked open a travel hack that no one has ever seen before.
Well, I didn't know about it either.
But you feel guilty about it.
Yeah, I don't think it's right.
Because you're not nervous.
No, I'm not nervous at all. I'm plenty happy to sit in the last row of the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't bother me at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go last row window over third row middle any day of the week.
Absolutely.
But when you land, if you got to get somewhere, that's another 15 minutes there of waiting for people to make their move. But that's something where I feel off. It's interesting to me that nobody out there is willing to admit to something wrong. Like I will see people. We'll see stories all the time. People go to the grocery store. They're somehow, some way, I don't know, maybe they're somehow something in the in the hot bar area. You end up, well, I just want to taste this, or perhaps it's your something just ends up in your pocket, or you're going to, I don't know, you're going to a restaurant and you're walking out of there with 10 candies that you're about to give that you're about to put on in your bathroom at all. People bend the rules and tell themselves that it's okay all the time.
There's always justification, because I feel like that shame window is so small, and I know that we probably have a lot of listeners who have done and I'm guilty for this too. You're at Costco, you're walking right by, you grab the first sample, those pizza bites were really good, maybe I should do a loop and come back for the second pizza bite.
I'm going to have the second pizza bite, maybe the third.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They're delicious. What am I supposed to do?
Might just come in here. Or, you know, my buddy Harry Tynowitz, we had this discussion. You know, he's doing an audition for some play or whatever he was auditioning for.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right across the street is Whole Foods. Parks in the Whole Foods, goes across the street, does his 1 hour thing, comes back, gets his car.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Free parking. But he's beating. Is it beating the system, or is it cheating the city out of what?
Is it a harmless crime?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that spot's available in Whole Foods. No, you're not. There's not people waiting on the street to get in there. He's taking his own risk. You could argue, well, if he gets caught, they're going to tow his car. That's on him.
Mm-hmm.
But so. I think it's very, very challenging for all of us to live by quote unquote the letter of the law. Like, how far are we going to go here?
Yeah, especially when it's so gray so many times. You know, if there's that open parking spot, I think we're all guilty of the Harry Tynowitz parking situation. And Harry, he lives on the edge, but I think we're all accountable for that.
This is the text that I'm looking for, or along the lines. 815. I've, quote, accidentally had my case of beer on the bottom of the cart and the checkout person didn't see. I dated somebody back in the day when I was, you know, called 15 years ago. Would say the same thing. Puts the bottles of water on the bottom of the cart, goes through, we go out to the thing. Did you pay for those? How come they didn't stamp them? They must have messed up. They didn't see him. Oh, okay. You're taking that home, right? You're not going back in to pay for those.
Are you going to go back? Do you got
a
coupon?
That's their mistake. They missed it.
Mm-hmm.
the mirror is not going to lie here. But I get it, by the way, 815. You got away with it, and then you're wrestling with it. Should I? And if you're somebody who's good at these things and sees opportunities, it is a challenging, it becomes even more challenging because you see, I could get away with that. Like most people who aren't smart enough to do what Jeff David did, the Sacramento Kings, they would not have realized, it wouldn't even cross their mind that, you know what, I can open up a separate account here. I'm going to name it Sacramento Sports Partners. If you're just joining us, we're talking about cheating and whatnot, and there was a chief revenue officer in the NBA who created his own fake little nest egg under the name Sacramento Sports Partners, and now he's going to prison for 7 years. And then you can boil it down just to the most minor thing, like the text. They didn't see the beer on the bottom of my grocery cart.
Mm-hmm.
Once taped a Cubs game without the express written consent of Major League Baseball from the 847. That's it. That's all you got. Come on, man. I mean,
geez, living on the edge. Are you on the run from the law now or something, buddy?
Yeah.
It's crazy. And you think that the guy who was with the Sacramento Kings, he probably did smaller things to build up to this. You know that there was one check he got in, and he's like, maybe I could do this again.
The first one that he did was for $30,000. He saw that I can do this.
That's bold.
And yeah, it's bold, but he went, you would think, like, at $30,000, like, whew, I got away with that. I'm never going to do that again. I can't believe I can even remotely live with this stress.
Mm-hmm.
No. Not Jeff David. I am going to build on that, and I'm going to get a $4 million check written to me. And I'm going to buy this is what he did with his money. I'm going to buy an incredible piece of real estate in California right on the water. I'm going to rehab it. I'm going to sell it for more. I'm going to get even more rich. And I'm going to set myself up, my family up, to live in ways that I never dreamed of and couldn't do legally, obviously. He wasn't satisfied just having a nice house, a nice car, being able to go out to dinner whenever the hell he wanted, go on family trips, all of it. You know, if you read psychology people, as far as like, does money make you happier? I think it's $78,000.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask somebody who makes $78,000 or more versus somebody who makes $78,000 or makes $7.8 million, they report back the same level of happiness. If you're really stretched all the time for dough, that does cause strain. But this guy was making $360,000. He wasn't strained for it. He had a nice car, a nice house, he had everything.
What's the end game too? He was looking for. How was he going to see this chapter ending?
I think he saw it ending that he's going to live as big as these people. He's not going to get in his mind. He was going. In one corner of his mind, he's like, I'm going to make this money back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pay it back to the Kings. And I'm going to, right, and I'm going to basically have used the money to enhance my own wealth. I'm just going to take this money for a little bit here. And I'm going to invest in this property. I'm going to make money here. I'll give him back the $4 million. I'm going to take the extra $1 million for myself. Mm-hmm. This is what he's telling himself.
Yeah, it's crazy how your mind can justify these crazy crimes.
But he was never going to, I mean, you really are going to pay it back?
No,
or are you going to build on the next one? Because you can't stop. It's almost like Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah, that's right. Great Leonardo DiCaprio movie.
He can't stop.
He couldn't.
He couldn't stop.
And now he works for the FBI.
That was an amazing, amazing film.
Amazing turnaround.
What was his actual real name?
Frank Abagnale?
Frank Abagnale. I love that story.
Yeah, that's a terrific story. And it reminds me of the Bernie Madoff, too, how he built that pyramid scheme, and he just structured it where he was losing millions upon billions of dollars for these people, living this lavish lifestyle, and then going to sleep at night knowing that you're ruining people's lives. It just doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't compute. I can see the person who got away with the free water underneath their cart, but $30,000? Stolen from a team or work? Wow.
Yeah, and great text here for the 815, and I have watched it. from the film is all the Queen's horses. The city comptroller in Dixon stole $52 million over 30 years.
Yes, that's a Kelly Richmond Pope.
Kelly Richmond
was
Pope
on last night.
Right, Kelly Richmond Pope, keyed me into that. There, here you are. You're running a small community with people who are paying taxes, and you're straight stealing from them. So you can live this lavish lifestyle, and you look at yourself in the mirror every day, and it's however you rationalize it, you do it. It doesn't matter. They're paying taxes. The taxes are too much. It doesn't go to any good cause anyway. I'm just going to get away with this, and I'll give back to charity, whatever the hell you tell yourself.
You think you're a good member of the community by doing these things, but you're just a criminal in disguise.
Hashtag, I'm sounding like I'm being incredibly really judgy here. I'm trying not to be. Justin, the big dollars was $9 million from the Kings. That was the biggest one. My name is not Justin. I'm Mark Harmon. Justin Kaufman is host from 7 to 10. Great man. And I don't mind the comparison. Let's see here. Yes, there was when I said $4 million with Jeff David, there was one $4 million payment. There was a $9 million payment. There was multiple. He did it multiple times. I stole $30,000 here. I stole $4 million here. I stole $9 million there. The point is that he set up his own little nest egg, and he has a phenomenal job in the NBA that 99% of sports fans would love to have that gig. And it just wasn't enough for him. There is so much to understand the human being and the choices that we make. It's straight fascinating. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. 720 WGN, hope you had a great Tuesday. 312-981-7200. We got 4 minutes more of cheating talk, and then I'm going to move on to the wedding coming up here after midnight and a couple of interesting scenarios that are presenting themselves, including a good friend of mine who's coming to town and has nowhere to stay for the wedding, and what am I supposed to do? Okay, just a couple more things on Jeff David. He purchased an $8 million home in Hermosa Beach. It's 20 miles southwest of L.A. He was asked how he gets the money to buy it. He explains he was part of an investor group. Right. How'd you get that money, dude? We got some people that wanted to go in with me on some real estate, and so we're buying this stuff and we're going to flip it. Yeah, okay. And you know what's also interesting too? The people that are around him, like his wife's name is Kate. When the FBI actually comes to his door and they ask him, and his wife says to him, how come our money is frozen when she goes to the bank account? How did you think? Wouldn't you think that you would have an idea of what your husband is making? And when you see that you're buying $8 million houses and your husband's only making $360K, which is a bunch of dough, but not a lot of dough when you're talking about an $8 million house, wouldn't you think that you might have a couple of questions? Hey, honey, how exactly are we affording this?
Mm-hmm.
Or, and I'm not blaming her at all, but, or, wow, I really like this sweet life that you've arranged for us, dear. I love the fact that we're driving around in a Bentley or whatever the hell they were driving, and that we're taking these sweet trips with our three kids, and I can order whatever the hell I want, and I can do whatever I want every single day, and we're living in this incredible house, and I'm just not going to ask any questions how all this is going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pink Floyd wrote a song about it called Comfortably Numb.
Right. There you go. There you go. Just going along here. Where are you guys living? Oh, we just bought an $8 million house in Hermosa. Really? How the hell did you do that? Oh, I don't know. He's doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
how can we afford this? And then you just, hey, my life is incredible right now. I'm not going to ask you questions. To the person that you sleep next to at night?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You don't really know.
She had no idea. She had absolutely no idea. Complete. This is a total shock that the way the life that we were living is not on board. I can't even believe it. All right, moving along. 720 WGN. Song's giving me anxiety. Not going to lie. 1209. Hope you're having a great Tuesday now into your Wednesday. Good morning to all you crazy people. Work starts at 1 in the morning. I feel like there's at least one of you out there. All right. My name is Mark Carbon with you for another hour. Nick D coming on up here. So that's right. 10 days to the wedding here, team. 10 days. The old 10 days. I feel like this wedding started on the Steve Cochran show, and it's going to end here on the night side.
The way it should be.
I am filling in next week for Dave Ennett. I'm not sure if Steve is working, but I'm assuming he is. That just crystallized to me. So Steve will get to like have a last run at me. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm working the day of the rehearsal dinner. I'm a sick person. But I love it. 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 I love it.
Right to the wire.
Right to the wire, man. So, question for you, 312-981-7200. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty here. I'm working on the tables, all this stuff, putting people together. And then it comes down to, what song are you going to come out to? What are you going to walk into? Now, we could go with Old Faithful. And this is what I've always thought it would be. You know, I grew up going to Chicago Stadium. Living the dream. Michael Jordan. Scottie Pippen. And then it's your wedding day, so you should play. Room gets up. Everyone's going nuts. Here comes Carm, here comes Chelsea, they're married. Yeah! But it's a little bit overdone. Sporty. Cheesy. Not, I don't know, tender something?
What isn't tender about this beautiful, beautiful love song?
So let me go to option two. Let's go option two. A little bit more honoring, right? An actual love song. For every kiss you give me, I'll give you three. Since the day I saw you, I've been waiting for you. Come on. Till eternity. But then again, you know, that could just be like later in the night, and then you could just go back to the original and like just you know, like bring it in there with the, yeah, right there. Woo! You walk out, you can high five everyone. Point at the crowd.
You already got this planned out, it seems like. You've been waiting for this moment. have your name, and then your college probably will be announced too.
Right, from Iowa. Number 10.
Are you giving yourself a number?
Yeah, why not? Number 312-981-7200. I am looking for suggestions for the walkout song. Do you like the Sirius Alan Parsons Project? Do you like Be My Baby? Or I'm willing to hear other options and we can sort of play the song and just see how it would feel. 312-981-7200. This is a huge opportunity to impact what in theory is at least one of the biggest days of my life. And Chelsea's life, by the way. She's there, too.
Pretty big day for both of you.
Her friends, her family, Papa Fred, were already called in tonight. We have the Bulls intro or Be My Baby. That's what we're down to. Bulls intro. Amazing. Be My Baby. Fun and beautiful. We're literally having these conversations. This is what's going on. I know it's super important. 630 texting in, just how stoned are you? I am not stoned, sir, and I find that offensive that you would think that I would be intoxicated or faded in any way to have this amazing conversation about a wedding song. Please send message to Vic. Please tell us who scored for the Hawks whenever you read this. Sorry. Vic, they want to know who scored in the Hawks game. Should not have read that text. Option 2, are you marrying yourself? Maybe she's a Bulls fan too there, 402. Maybe, but you're right. Okay. Come on, Mark. You got to be original. Enter with bagpipes from Danny. Let's see.
Did he say?
The Ronettes. Alan Parsons is overplayed, but do what you enjoy, Glenn and Oaklawn. I think, listen, it's not just about me. I'm trying to warm up to this. They played the Bulls at my wedding when we got introduced. It was wild. The crowd loved it. In 1991. See, right, but it stood the test of time. People are saying that the Alan Parsons Project is overplayed. My wife and I got married in 2000. We used King of the Hill theme song. That's awesome. Let's see here. Lisa, welcome to WGN. 312-981-7200. It's Alan Parsons Project versus Be My Baby. What's up, Lisa?
Hello. Well, first of all, congratulations. I've enjoyed listening to the countdown and all of the details. And I think because for multiple reasons, it has to be Alan Parsons Project. Number one, well, a sporty guy, right? Mm-hmm. And this is something that you actually have been thinking, like, I'm sure your whole life you haven't been thinking about your wedding. And you just said this is the one thing you were thinking about. So this is a big part of you. For the wedding, right?
But Lisa, let's just say for argument's sake that we were getting married and you weren't a huge Bulls fan. But would you want to do this for? Now, I'm not saying that she's not, and she's open to it. But you know, there's a little bit of a sort
well,
of it's all about
is give
me.
And take, right? Marriage is give and take.
Marriage is give and take. Good point.
You know, if she wants to make you happy, and this is something that you have really thought about. Because, like I just said, I'm sure you haven't been planning your wedding or thinking a lot about it. I know Chelsea's had a lot of wedding planning to do. So
she has, Lisa.
This is great. This is the one thing that you actually have an opinion on and are wanting to do. Whether she's a Bulls fan or not, I think because you are a sports guy, I think everybody's going to get it. Whether it's overplayed or not, doesn't matter because it matters to you. So,
Lisa, this is
that's
like the,
where I give you that.
This is one of the top calls I've ever received in WGN history. You really like
well,
you've
I know you guys have been struggling about what the dance song is, right? You've been back and forth. You actually wanted a Dire Straits song. That's got voted down.
Yeah.
So Chelsea, hey, I'm with you, girl, but give him this because this is the one thing that he's actually wanted and excited about. Let him do it.
So you like that I'm actually excited about something. I love that, Lisa.
Well, you know, I know you're excited about a lot of things, but the fact that you've thought about this before and this is something that, you know, it means something to you. Like I said, if you weren't a sports guy, if, you know, yeah, other people have picked it who haven't been sports people, and it's overplayed for them, but
right.
Not for you. It fits for you, and it's something that you've wanted. So I think this is something that, you know, would make your wedding even more enjoyable for you.
Okay. Lisa, you're awesome.
And I wish you both nothing but the best.
Okay. There'll be one more, at least one more time we'll do some wedding topic before we get married. So I look forward to hearing from you that night, hopefully. All right.
I will be there for you. I will be there for you.
Thanks, Lisa. All right. Appreciate it.
Have a good one.
312-981-7200. Alan Parsons Project versus the Ronettes. Be my baby. Lisa's very clear. This is something you care about, Carm. You're a sports guy. You love the Bulls. Go for it. I like that. Very, very, not a lot of, there's no wishy-washy right there with Lisa.
She has your back. Lisa's a great call.
Lisa's, I mean, I got to enlist Lisa for more life coaching. That was awesome. Real quick, Paul, welcome to WGN.
How you doing?
Good, Paul. How are you?
Well, I agree with you with using Sirius, but my wife and I, we used a different Alan Parsons instrumental.
Yeah?
I caught some flack because of what it's named. It's called Lucifer, but it sounds like a grand royal march coming in.
Right here, is this it, my friend?
That's it.
I don't know, Paul. Seems a little. I mean, I'm sure it was wonderful for you, but it seems a little bland.
No, The one we used wasn't straight off the Alan Parsons album. It was the guy that did the orchestrations. It was done with the London Symphony.
Well, let's get down to brass tacks here. Are you still married, Paul?
Widowed.
I'm sorry to hear that, Paul. But so okay, you have a great memory. Yeah.
But my wife, I played the orchestral version for her, and I said it fits. It may not fit with the name with the family, but oh well.
it's just a name. I don't think anybody was sitting there thinking like, that's Lucifer, that is wrong. Maybe one person, but most people were just like, they were into the tune, man.
Her traditional Italian grandmother wasn't happy with it.
Well, I'm sure she got over it after time, right, Paul?
Yeah, eventually.
Okay. Well, sometimes these things take a moment. Hey, Paul, appreciate the contribution. Thanks much.
Thank you.
All right. 312-981-7200. I believe I got to take a quick time out. Let's do that right now. 720 WGN. So now this could be a good twofer. You do the Bulls intro, then you go right into Chelsea Dagger. I don't even know if she'd get it.
You'd have to say the name of the song.
This is Chelsea Dagger. It's for you, Chelsea.
Can I make a suggestion if you're going to be going with either this song or the Alan Parsons Project?
Please, Michael, what do you got?
Can there be two people to the side of you shooting t-shirt cannons?
You think that would just throw them into the crowd for a nice touch?
Yeah, just for kicks. I mean, if you really want to get the crowd going wild, t-shirt cannons, maybe a mascot with like either... your face, or maybe Benny the Bull could be there too.
That's actually an amazing idea. If you had t-shirts with a picture of us on there, and people were like throwing it into the crowd.
Yeah, that'd be so good. And just like Chelsea could hold the slingshot, and you could just whip it back and just throw it into the crowd.
We like pulled out a bag and started throwing them to everybody. That's an amazing idea.
Hey, there's still time. 11 days.
Yeah, that's we're having a hard time deciding between the sliders and the chicken empanada. I don't know, to actually get a t-shirt done seems like a large lift. A lot of texts coming in here. White Wedding by Billy Idol. No. That's like, maybe we could play that in the middle of the night, but that's not an intro song, right? White Wedding. First of all, I don't think this is a white wedding. Okay. Let's see here. What do we get? 312-981-7200. A lot of people back in the Bulls intro. Thank you. How about Happy Together by the Turtles from Doc? Might... Doc, I think you might have aged yourself with that one. But I appreciate it. Me and you and me. Yeah, I don't think... But that's nice. Is this Bach? Bach is on the line. Bach, what's up, dude?
How you doing?
Good, Bach. How are you?
Good, good.
What's on your mind, Bach?
I was thinking of the song, the instrumental version of Miami Nights Ocean Drive.
The instrumental version of Miami Nights Ocean Drive. I'm saying this slowly because I'm giving Michael Heidemann time to try to find it. I don't know this song, Bach. Can you hum it for me?
Well, it's the instrumental, so...
Here we go.
It's got a tune to it. It's just got a nice tune to it for your exit song.
Is this it right here?
Yes.
Okay. You do a little point at the crowd right now, Bach? Is that the idea?
Right.
Yeah. Have you ever used this yourself, Bach?
I always listen to this a lot of times when I drive.
This is a good driving song? Because it just seems like a repetitive dance beat, right?
I got this song. I like the rhythm to the song. It was in a video game for
Grand Theft Auto.
Grand Theft Auto?
No, not Grand Theft Auto. It's actually Speedboat.
Speedboat.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, all the imagery is Grand Theft Auto imagery, but Speedboat sounds more...
it's more of a racing tune to it, though. So.
You driving right now, Bach?
Yeah, I'm on my way home.
Where are you headed? Where are you coming from, Bach?
Yeah, I just got off of work from the west side.
What do you do, Bach?
I am a clerk for the Chicago Transit Authority.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a great rider, Bach, just so you know. I'm very respectful. I think I do a wonderful job.
Thank you so much.
I hope you appreciate it. All right. Hey, Bach, appreciate the contribution, my friend. Thank you.
All right. Have a good night.
Yep. Get on safe. Miami Nights. My main man, Bach. I mean, this seems like for after the wedding. It's more post-game action. What I'm getting here. Let me get Lee in here. What's up, Lee? What do you got, Lee?
Hi. First of all, I really love your show.
Thanks, Lee.
Getting back to your original two songs, I think
bless you.
It would be really neat if you and Chelsea were sort of out of the room. And then you start with the Bulls theme and the build-up and so forth.
Uh-huh.
And the lights are dimming.
Right.
And then as you walk, or two of you walk into the room with big smiles on your faces and so on, then you begin with Be My Baby. And then the lights gradually go up.
And then you get the dance, the Be My Baby, after the Bulls thing, right?
Yes. But the lights also have to be coordinated, which wouldn't be difficult at all with a dimmer switch, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that would be a really dramatic start to your reception.
Bach, Bach, Lee. Sorry,
yes.
Bach. What you just said, Lee, is 100% on the table. That is an option that is being... very much discussed. We could do the Bulls into Be My Baby.
Right. It's both great. And the Bulls thing is just a super introduction for everyone who's present.
It never gets old, right? Yes, it works every time.
Yes.
All right.
Lee, before you go, what were your thoughts on the lighting situation with the T-shirt cannons?
I didn't hear that.
Oh, okay.
Michael Heidemann says that as we're doing the intro with the Bulls thing, we throw out some T-shirts, too. We get, like, Chelsea and Mark picture on a T-shirt. We float them out in the crowd. We knock people's wine glasses over at their table.
Tiramisu flying everywhere.
Right. Just total chaos is what Heidemann wants to start the wedding.
Well, you might want to end it that way.
There
we go.
Could be an ending. There we go.
No one wants to leave.
Yes, it would.
Okay.
Well, good luck with everything.
Thank you, Lee. Appreciate it. All right. Three,
you're welcome.
Have a good one. Lee was going to hang up on me like my dad hangs up on me. I appreciate that. 312-981-7200. All right. There's one story that bothered me today. We're going to talk about that coming on back here. 720 WGN. Lay down, Sally, would be sweet. First dance. Chelsea's also thinking about a wonderful tonight.
Oh, see, that's a total classic.
Classic, beautiful.
Sad.
Late in the evening. I'm going to start weeping right now.
I feel like you would need a beer.
I don't know what I'm
going to... a foot long to have this be your go-to song to dance to.
Seriously, I don't know what I'm going to have to do. How am I going to do radio after this wedding? This thing's been so much fun to talk about and disturbing all at the same time.
Now, are you kidding me? After you get done with the wedding, it's like you're married. That's like content all over the place.
Oh, that reminds me. There's one thing I forgot to touch on. Okay. I want to hit this one. I've got one really good friend, okay? He's a good buddy of mine. He's coming in town for the wedding. He's flying up here from Florida. Now, he's a teacher. Man's not overflowing in dough. Or if he is overflowing in dough, he doesn't want to spend it. I don't know. I haven't seen his bank account. But he is aggressively asking me to, like, where can I... Can I stay in your apartment? Yeah, that's not going to work. I'd be happy to do it, but upper management's not allowing that one to happen. Wedding weekend, upper management, good old Chelsea doesn't want that.
A grown adult asking to stay at your apartment during your wedding weekend.
Well, you guys are going to be in a hotel, right? Yes, we are. Well, could I stay there? Let me ask. I asked. No. Okay. I might have to run home. I don't want some weird guy who I don't know in our one-bedroom apartment sleeping in my bed. No. And I tried numerous times, but that was a no. And then, you know, you only want to pick so many battles in life, so I let that one go. Now, I'm calling up other friends for this gentleman. Hey, buddy John, can you hook up my guy? Can you let him stay in his place? No. No, I got other people coming in town. So, the dude, like, he doesn't really have anywhere to stay. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to call my family members? How do you help a guy like this out? Hey, man, would you, I don't know. I don't know the solution here. So am I supposed to get him a hotel room? What am I supposed to do for this?
Yeah, the hotel. Why is that off the table?
Well, he's got to get the hotel, but it's like, I'm like, and I called up another one of my friends who's coming in. He's getting a hotel room. His wife and his kids are not coming. It's Thanksgiving weekend. He's coming by himself. I called him up and said, hey, man, this dude's looking for something. He's like, dude, I am so excited to stay in my own hotel room by myself, away from screaming. He's got twins that are 3 years old, and just have peace and quiet. Sorry, not willing to give up my private time that I'm actually really looking forward to, just to chill out in my hotel, watch TV, not wear clothes, whatever he's gonna do in there. He's fired. I think he's probably most excited about coming to the wedding for that than anything else. He's so excited to have his own hotel room. This dude's calling him up. He's like, should I stay in the suburbs or should I stay in the city? Huh? The wedding is in the city. Stay in the city. I know there's some cheap motel out in Naperville, sweet town, that's probably less than the hotels around Michigan Avenue, but you're going to be in Naperville, and you're going to be taking the Metra in, or you're going to be taking a $30 Uber. Stay in the city.
Is he a notorious penny pincher, or is there a reason behind this?
And that's the other thing, too. It's the other thing, like, hey, man, you know, he lives in Florida now. He used to live in Houston. I flew down to Houston for your wedding. I brought a date. I paid for my flight. I paid for her flight. This would be Chelsea. We, all of that. No. And I actually sort of messed up his wedding because he did like his wedding block. And I'm like, eh. I'd rather stay at this hotel downtown. Little did I know, I wasn't paying attention. The wedding was like in the suburbs of Houston, an hour away from where we were staying. So then I had to get a rental car, all this stuff.
Oh, mm-hmm.
But anyway, the point is, I got you. Everybody knows this random dude, right? Y'all have one of these in your life?
Absolutely.
I just got to let it go. Hey, man, sorry. Did the best I could to help you out. I asked about three people. You're on your own. But I'm still, like, thinking of, I bet my brother might allow him to stay in their basement. I don't know if my sister-in-law would be wild about that, or my niece. Should I make the ask? How do these people, I love him. I'm so happy he's coming. But what am I, dude?
Yeah.
I'm almost like, you know, because my dad and his wife, they're like waffigating on staying downtown. It's like, well, if you guys don't stay downtown, if I could put Guru in your room. Didn't mean to say his name. Carb, is he a grown man? Get himself a hotel room.
Thank you.
501. Yeah. Well, he definitely is a grown man. I mean, he's just became a father.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But, you know, so he's a dad. He's trying to save some dough. So I'm sympathetic to that. Right?
Does he like you? Does he just like you that much where he wants to just bond with you, be with you at all? Or is it,
I don't think it's a bonding thing.
It's not about bonding.
I mean, maybe.
Man, that is so funny because there are so many solutions in 2019. You got an Airbnb, you can do couch surfing, you can do it at a hotel, you can do a fancy hotel.
What's this one? Couch surfing?
Oh yeah, couch surfing was like the original idea through Airbnb.
I've never couch surfed.
It's kind of like a Craigslist idea where people just let you sleep on their couch.
Couch surfing. Hang on, I'm looking it up here. Have you ever done it?
No way, Jose. I've never slept on some. Well, I've slept on somebody's couch before, obviously, but never through this.
Couch surfing Chicago. Chicago couch surfing.
We also have a hostel here in Chicago.
We've got many hostels here. United States, Chicago. Local hosts. There's 47,000 hosts for couch surfing.
That's a whole lot of couches.
Is this true?
Yeah, it's a pretty popular site.
Why have I never heard of this?
Because you don't sleep on couches.
Join our travel community. You could stay with Ish Verma, who's an IT consultant who loves to code, wants to explore every state. Matthew Bunyan.
Oh, no.
I'm Matt. I was born and raised in Chicago and love showing off my city to guests. I work as an economist for the U.S. government. Is this illegal that I'm reading this? I don't think it is. I feel like I'm peering into someone's like bank account right
if
now.
If anything, you're giving him a promotion to stay on his couch.
David Lewis. I was born in Chicago, raised in the northwest suburbs, and I'm currently living in Chicago on the north side. Has anybody ever couch surfed? 312-981-7200.
These are going to be some gutsy calls. A lot of courage happening.
I enjoy anything outdoors, photography, hiking, etc. So, okay, hold on a second here. Book now.
Are you getting your buddy a couch?
I might just get him a couch.
Do they have, like for smaller people, maybe an ottoman that you could stay on or something like that?
An ottoman.
Or, like, for the luxury.
Why are you saying smaller people? I mean, he's not. How do you know his height? Have you looked him up? Because he is kind of a smaller person.
Oh, he is?
I mean, he's not super small, but he's, like, you know, 5'6", 5'7".
Or you could go to the luxury and just get him a lazy boy and you could surf on.
Couch surfing, huh? Well, right. Why not just go Airbnb?
Yeah.
But Airbnbs are, you know, it's not that cheap in Airbnb. It's almost, I'd have to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what's going on. Wow. Hey, man, I know you're got a couple things going on here, but is there any way that I could stay with you for the wedding? Let me work on that. But I like being a good friend is the point to all this. All right, I want to segue to something. Do you have a song that, can you play Mr. Rogers, please?
I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day.
So this is my favorite story of the day. Fred Rogers was a straight hero. And Tom Hanks is playing him in the movie. He found out on Sunday that he's related to Fred Rogers. Hanks is Fred Rogers. Not only is he playing him in the movie about Fred Rogers, but Tom Hanks is actually related to Mr. Rogers. The two are sixth cousins. This is according to Ancestry.com. It all just comes together, you see, Tom Hanks told Access Hollywood when the show informed him of the relation. Hanks is playing Mr. Rogers in the upcoming film, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. He says he didn't know they were related when he took the role. Now, like, if you look at a picture of Mr. Rogers and you look at Tom Hanks, they look borderline identical.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I guess, partly why he's playing the role. But he's related to Mr. Rogers. I think that's just adorable. Hanks is, I mean, six cousins is not the person you have Thanksgiving dinner with. But like, if of people that I would love to be related to, I would love to be able to tell you, you know what, Fred Rogers is a distant cousin, six times removed, but that dude is part of my family. I have that goodwill nature in me.
Mm-hmm.
I am part of the Fred Rogers family. Did you grow up watching
Mr. Rogers?
Mr. Rogers.
Yes, I did. I was in that.
Wasn't he the nicest? Range. Just
he was.
Have you ever seen his when he speaks to Congress about children's programs and getting funding for PBS?
It's so like thoughtful.
It's like the greatest man that's ever lived. And Tom Hanks, one of the all-time great actors, is related to him. That was my favorite story of the day. Let's take our final timeout. 720 WGN. What is the meaning of this, Michael Heidemann?
Well, I know that you mentioned it earlier, and it was just a thoughtful song. I thought it tied it all together because you said that this was the song you wanted to dance to when we're talking about Mr. Rogers, and I had it ready to play.
Little Romeo and Juliet, Mark Knopfler.
Oh, yeah. I've been listening to a lot more Knopfler since we've been working together.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You liking it?
A lot of respect for the man.
We had some Knopfler roll, and I did my... Did the old bachelor party last couple of my good buddies, we went up to see the old Grand Geneva up in Wisconsin.
Oh,
yes,
great spot.
So I put in some Knopfler when we were out at the old bar. I played the Trawler Man song, which is a phenomenal tune. But it was a wonderful time that you just made me think back to the old weekend, which I had a wild bachelor party. We played tennis. We had dinner, and I took a nap. That was about it. It was super peaceful. I loved it. All right. I want to talk about one story that's been we've been reporting in the news today, just slightly serious on the way out here. The Tribune did a phenomenal job on this. It's called The Quiet Rooms. Children are being locked away alone and terrified in schools across Illinois. Often it's against the law. All right. So... And this was written by Jennifer Smith Richards, Jody Cohn, LaKedra Chavez. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And they write, the spaces have gentle names, the reflection room, the cool down room, the calming room, the quiet room. But shut inside them in public schools across the state, children as young as five wail for their parents, scream in anger, and beg to be let out. Students, most of them with disabilities, scratch the windows or tear at the padded walls. They throw their bodies against locked doors. They wet their pants. Some children spend hours inside these rooms missing class time. Through it all, adults stay outside the door writing down what happens. So this is, I mean, it's just so disturbing, right? And so I'm working on a piece, a video piece on Jesse White. The Jesse White Tumblers are coming up on their 60th anniversary here in December. And we're going to have Jesse on the show one of these nights. And I'm putting a video piece together over at Fanside. Jesse White has been someone who has served the state, Secretary of State, for 20-plus years. He has... And if you don't know his history, he played minor league baseball for the Cubs, and he's... the Tumblers have been around for 60 years. And he takes these kids who have a lot less than most of us, and he puts clothes on their back. He gives them an opportunity to be a part of a group. He builds confidence in them. He holds them to standard. And some of these kids, they stay around for 15, 20 years. To actually be on the Tumblers that perform at the United Center or wherever, you have to go through the training and prove yourself that you actually belong out there. Like, they've got all the... They don't turn people away, but they've got practice groups, lots of them, for people who are working their way up to actually perform on the big stage. They don't just hand that to you, obviously, because you have to be incredibly skilled to do it. But so it's a carrot that's out there, that's dangling. Do you want to be out there? Do you want to perform here? Well, you got to work on your backflip. You got to work on your leaps. You got to work on this. and they support you with the people that have been around the program. These older guys, they love to give back to the young guys because they were once them. And so I went to a practice and I saw it in action. It was beautiful. And I went up to a family because they're trying to, you know, get some depth in the piece. And I talked to one of the moms who's there, and they don't let the parents in when the tumblers are going on. You have to sit out in the hallway because they don't want the kids distracted by mom and dad, or probably in most cases just mom or just dad, who are, you know, there to drop the kid off, but they don't want they want the kids focused on tumbling and being in practice and not trying to show off or seeing their mom or whatever running over to the sidelines. So they don't even get to watch. So she's out in the hallway. And I go and I talk to her and I say, would it be okay if I came over and interviewed you and your 10-year-old daughter who's in the program and your 6-year-old son? And she says, yes. And that's a huge ask, right? Like, I'm coming into your home. We're bringing cameras. And we're going to talk to your kids. And they're 10 and they're 6. To me, that's a huge deal. And so, how does this tie into the story? Well, here you go. The 6-year-old is a 6-year-old with a lot of energy. And I guess diagnosed with some form of ADD. So he's a kid that doesn't want to sit still in school, right? He's an artist. He wants to play sports. He's not a guy. He's not somebody that's just going to be a factory worker in there who can just sit in his desk and sit still. And a lot of those kids, they end up in what they're calling these calming rooms, where it's really just a kid being a kid. And so they were so grateful for the tumblers because that carrot being out there of going to practice to tumble motivated the 6-year-old to do better in school, because if he was acting out in school, then that would get reported to the tumblers and he wouldn't be allowed to go to practice. And to be able to go to practice, you can't be a clown at school. That's part of the deal. So because this little carrot is out there, the kid has actually been doing better in school. And so I asked his sister, you know, what does it mean to you, she's 10, that your brother is so into tumbling and that he's doing better in school? And she just starts straight crying. And I wasn't expecting that. And she or she's crying. And I'm watching her crying, and now I start crying. Like, not crying, but, you know, tears coming out a little. And I'm sitting there trying to tell her, like, it's okay, it's fine, you're good. But she was so great because her brother was getting picked on. She didn't like it that her 6-year-old, or who's 4 years younger than at school, is getting put in timeout, is other kids are, because he's getting put in that, he's getting abused at school, probably, you know, kids picking on him, kids can be super mean. And it was so heartwarming to see this 10-year-old caring so much about the 6-year-old. So I know it's super hard to be a teacher and deal with kids who, and you got 30 kids in a classroom or 35 or whatever it is, and three can't sit still and you don't know what to do. And maybe they're extremely challenged. But this is not the answer. And it's just, it was such a hard story to read. But I just wanted to give props out to the tumblers tonight, and looking forward to having Jesse on at some point here, which I'll retell that story when he is in here. But that is an amazing, amazing group. 60 years and so many kids, so many that have benefited from being in that program. And so when I was reading that story today, it made me think of all the good that Jesse White has done. I just wanted to give him a little love tonight. Quick time out, 720 WGN.